This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, it's Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Let's tee it up. Time to spend the next hour bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. The show, as you heard in our intro, is Golfers on Golf Radio. And here in studio this morning, happy to be in studio, a little bit of light rain, some change in the summer weather here, but still looking to be a glorious weekend for golf. Here in studio, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson alongside PGA Life member Billy Berger. We have longtime Chicago area sports journalist Rory Spears, and on the line with us too, our Hall of Famer co-host from the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame, longtime journalist Len Zien. And guys, you know, when it comes to tournament season, there's not a lot we can seem to count on with regularity anymore. And here in the Chicago area, it's been at times feast or famine. I know for a very long stretch, we enjoyed the Western Open being here in town, usually around 4th of July weekend. Of course, that changed years ago, but the PGA Tour still does make a stop in the state of Illinois. West of us towards the Quad Cities in Silvis, the John Deere Classic, and it's been in full swing this week. Rory, I know you've been out west towards the mighty Mississippi, and right on the ground. So, give us the firsthand report. How are things going out at Silvis, Illinois, at the John Deere Classic?
Well, it was great to be out there yesterday and catch up with a lot of people, including it was nice to see our fourth here from Golfers on Golf Radio had made the trip from Florida. We had Len Zien in the house in the press room, and Tim Cronin from the Illinois Golfer was in the press room. So we had a little bit of a representation from Chicago, but it was good to see some of our Quad City media people, including Tom Johnston, who's on the mend yet from some heart surgery, but it was good to see him back at the keyboard, so to speak, cranking out copy. And Craig DeVries, a longtime golf writer in the Quad Cities, is doing work for PGAtour.com. We'll hear from him later in the show. And then we had, Ed, we had our locals down there well represented yesterday, and they're playing well. Doug Gim from Arlington Heights, Kevin Streelman from Wheaton, and Northbrook Nick Hardy all making the cut, all playing well. It was really good to see. Len Zien and I caught up with Nick and Kevin Streelman yesterday. Doug Gim's round was going to end rather late in the day, and he's probably going to come in pretty soggy from the rain he had to play through.
Well in advance of the cut line, though. And
yeah, but he made a good late run and was able to, he'll stick around for the weekend. And hopefully all of those guys can keep it going this weekend, because at John Deere, we know that you got to go low to have any kind of a chance to win. And Billy knows those weeks when you really have to go shoot a low number if you're going to have any chance.
Yeah, Billy, yeah. This course likes birdies, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, probably, probably maybe not the worst meeting in the world, but to have a late tee time and be kind of okay standing somewhere and just take a glance at the scoreboard and those numbers are going down, and you say to yourself, what am I doing here? I had pneumonia when I was a kid.
Yeah, you feel like you're in neutral, and you see those, can't hit it, do anything about it, and the field's pulling away already with all those low scores.
You're going 4 or 5 behind already, you know. So,
well, Len Zien, welcome back to the Midwest, and great to know you're close by, and What are your thoughts so far on this year's edition of the John Deere Classic?
Well, you know, it's just great to go back to the John Deere. I'm going back way past, way early in the days when it was played at Oakwood, and it of course it's been now over 20 at at TPC Deer Run. So I feel like this is kind of really kind of a home thing for me. I'm like Rory. It was really a treat yesterday, an added plus to see Nick and Kevin Streelman both play well. I mean, Kevin shot 63, and he's been playing in this tournament 10 years. That was the lowest round he's ever shot here. So that was kind of a cause for celebration, and everybody was feeling good about that. I hope he can hang in there and make a good serious run, because he's at a point in his season, and maybe not his career yet, but his season where he needs a good finish to this one. He's really in a very precarious position about making it into the FedEx playoffs, which are a lot harder to get into now. So we'll see what happens on the weekend. It's a funny thing that here that strikes me. They announced last night that they're playing starting at 9:45 today, and they're going to play in threesomes, which they thought there was going to be inclement weather this morning, and there certainly hasn't been. It's a beautiful day in the Quad Cities, and looking forward to a lot more golf here.
It'll be exciting, Len. And, you know, after weeks and weeks of drought and dry weather, here we go. Now Mother Nature is throwing a little bit of variability into the forecast and into the mix. And I know it changes course conditions, too. You know, talking about Kevin Streelman, I know those of us in the Chicago area that have been involved in around the Illinois Junior Golf Association certainly have an extra rooting interest in Streelman and Doug Gim and Nick Hardy, who had opportunities there. And Kevin Streelman, as you may recall, has a long, long streak of making the FedEx Cup playoffs. I think some 14 plus years of in a row, which is really a model of consistency. You know, when you think of Kevin Streelman, you think of success, but I think that sustained success is huge.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Len Zeman and I caught up with Kevin Streelman yesterday after his round. And, well, here's a little bit how that interview went. Let's hear from Kevin.
Actually, hit it pretty good yesterday. Mikey helped me with my putting last night. It was one of those 7 p.m. emergency sessions, and he just says, just try this one thing. And it just was adjusting my eye line to the left a touch, and all of a sudden I could just see the line a little bit cleaner. I was just backing out of it a little bit and tilting. So it's always something small to us with especially putting and short game stuff. So that clicked. I found a little something on the range, just posting my left side a little better, and off to the races we were.
Constant fight.
Mike Bester, my caddy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Bester, B-E-S-T-O-R.
T-O-R. So what carried out to the golf course, and where did today's run start? Because we know you put up a lot of birdies, which you got to do here if you're going to have a shot to win.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Had good looks at both 10 and 11, hit nice putts, and then 12, hit it to about a foot. Same at 13, about 5 feet. Stuffed it on 14, birdied 15. You kind of did what I was supposed to on 16, 17. So all of a sudden, I was 5 under pretty early. And hitting the bunker on 18, I was a little, it's not really the shot you want to have to a back right pin, but I hit a flare to the right, and I was like, well, that's an automatic bogey. And had a nice lie in the tight fringe area, and I've been really working hard on my short game and hit this sweet little spinner. Carried the corner, grabbed, and went down to about 5 feet and made that for par. So that was kind of a momentum saver. And then stuffed it on 10, birdied that. And honestly, I had, 30 feet for eagle on 11 and three-putted. So that was kind of a buzzsaw momentum killer for a few holes. But came back with 2 more birdies after that. So I was whenever you go bogey-free on a PGA Tour course, it's a pretty solid plan. But to get 8 of them on top of that was a good one for an old guy. So.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, you're still sporting the Wilson hat.
Yeah.
Will that relationship stay in place with Tim Clark's departure?
Yeah, that's a good question. My contract's up this year, so I hope so. I love being the Chicago kid and part of Team Wilson. I think it's been 13 or 14 years now, and it's been meaningful to me. I had both my wins with wearing Wilson, playing Wilson, been a big part of the development of our program, and I think development of our clubs and equipment. And so I enjoy that. And we'll see.
Stretch for a shocker, or was
he said it was probably within a year or two anyway. Just yeah, some, just was, a few
we saw
things
him
happened.
One of the winter tournaments, and he was
He's a dear friend of mine. Kind of like a big brother to me, but. Well, he's happy, and we'll move on to a great place.
All right, that's Kevin Streelman, and part of the interview that was done with Len Ziem and myself, and I know Lenny has more from that interview running, I know, on LenZiemOnGolf.com, and I believe maybe even the Daily Herald today as well. So, Lenny, you've got that story out there, don't you?
Yeah, I tell you, he had a lot to say. Kevin did. I devoted the. It's funny in a golf tournament that's only halfway through. I thought the right thing for Chicago readers, especially, was to devote almost the whole, virtually the whole piece to Kevin today. He talked about that. It was funny. He talked about Jay Monahan, and he said it was how strange it was. You know, Kevin's been on the policy board and the player advisory board, and he's very close to the political side of golf, but very against the LIV Tour. So I thought, well, I ought to get his feelings there. And he thought it was so strange that we hadn't heard from Jay Monahan, that he had been, it's been about a month. And sure enough, later in the day, the PGA Tour announced that Jay Monahan was going to return to work on July 17th. So I gather a lot of news in that on that side of the golf world, not the most pleasant side, but certainly the one side that has kind of dominated this year in a lot of ways will be forthcoming soon.
Well, let's hope we keep seeing good news from Kevin on the golf course. Obviously, a strong start to this tournament, and it'd be nice to see him continue up in the FedEx Cup standings. I think projected right now in the 107th spot. And climbing as this tournament goes. So it would be great to see him crack the top 70, keep a streak alive, and continue to represent. I loved in that interview you guys did, referred to himself, he likes being the Chicago kid. And I know, Len, I think you and I were both there when he got inducted into the Illinois Junior Golf Association's Hall of Fame inaugural class last year, and he's been nothing but a touch of class.
Yeah, he's been a great example. I think he's been Chicago's best tour player now for,
15 years?
15 years, at least. Almost every year he's been on the tour. 16, I believe, has been had a tour card.
Since leaving Duke. Yeah.
And, he's had a couple of really good wins. The one at Hartford, he birdied the last seven holes. It's one of the most memorable finishes that we've seen by any tour player in years. So he's such a great example for he's very big on the program at Cantini and big on youth golf. And even though he lives in Arizona now, Chicago's in his heart. So, he's one of the good guys in golf, and he can only wish him the best.
Agreed.
All right. With that, we are gonna go out to our first guest, and it is kind of getting to be almost to the midway point of the season up here, summer season on golf, and sometimes you got to restock up on supplies. Your glove is showing a little wear. You got to put more tees in the bag, more golf balls, and some people might even find that they're ready for a new push cart or other things, and. We know one guy who's got a line on helping you out, replenishing your golf bag and your golf supplies, and he is the president and CEO of the Oakbrook Terrace-based Zero Friction company that makes a whole lot of golf products. And with that, we welcome back to Golfers on Golf Radio, John Iacono. John, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm fantastic, Rory. Thank you for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Well, John, I'll tell you what, we're glad that you can join us. And, between especially Eddie and myself, we're out at the golf courses on a pretty regular, almost daily basis. And, we're starting to see people come in and that golf glove's looking a little warm, worn. Maybe it was out in they played golf in the last rainstorm and it's got really soaked. And I know one thing, your company's got a lot of different products, and of course one that really stood out to us is that new push cart that you've got. Tell us a little bit about Stride that you unveiled at the PGA show down in Orlando last January.
Yeah, so thank you very much again for having me on. The Stride is our new electric golf bag, and the Stride is basically a trolley that we've built into a golf bag. And the golf, it has a remote control and a follow me feature with it. So it's the size of a cart bag, and it has two wheels that pop on the front, and then it has a cantilever wheel that comes down the back of the bag and has a remote control, a 72-hole battery that you can recharge as needed, and away you go. It's your own private caddy. The bag walks alongside of you. It will stay within 3 feet of you, and the beauty of it is the wheels come off. The cantilever wheel recesses back up into the back of the bag, and you could put it on the back of a motor cart if you wish. So there's no need to buy a trolley, those big collapsible trolleys. You have to put them in your trunk. Then you have to throw your bag in there. Then you have to, you know, open up the trolley, put your bag on it. The bag itself is the trolley. And we're really ecstatic about it. They'll be available for shipment around mid-October. And right now you could go online to zerofriction.com and register. If you go to Stride, there's a registration form, and then we'll be reaching out to you as soon as they get a little closer to delivery.
Wow. Well, John, Ed Stevenson here, and, you know, amazing. Just in some, when you think you haven't, there's nothing new in golf. Of course, there is something new, and I think we're seeing a new version of golf in a lot of ways in the post-COVID era. Those of us that were in the state of Illinois remember that stretch during 2020 when golf was you know, allowed to open up, but you couldn't use golf carts. And I think a lot of people discovered walking again in some ways by force. And at the time, hard to even get some of the equipment. And I remember seeing a guy at the Preserve at Oak Meadows showed up with a Red Rider wagon to, you know, tote his clubs around then. But honestly, in the time since, of course, we've returned to enjoying golf the way that we always have. And yet I see more and more people walking or wanting to experience the course that way. So it looks like on the golf bag side of things, your company's anticipating that as well.
We are. And, you know, we don't want to make anything similar to any other companies, if you will, Ed. And that's where we came up with Stride. We wanted it to be in the electric trolley business, but I always struggled with the collapsible trolley in your trunk and then your golf bag in your trunk. And then how do you go on a trip and take those two things with you if you're flying somewhere? And if you're a member of a private club, they will not keep your trolley, electric trolley, in your bag. And as a general rule, they won't keep them both. They'll only keep your bag because the facilities don't have enough storage room. But they will keep this because it's just your bag. So it solves a lot of problems. And the technology that we have on it, you know, the bag has its own, it has its own cooler to hold six beverages, right?
Wow.
And then on each side of it, on the left and right side of the bag, there's a magnet to hold your speaker on one side and your laser on the other side. And then it has a holder for your umbrella. So you're hands-free when you're walking or when you want to take your shot. There's an umbrella holder. You could walk under the umbrella, alongside your trolley. We put a 4-inch extension handle on the umbrella. So we really tried to think of everything we possibly could. There's even a charger on it for your iPhone. So you can charge your iPhone if you're running low on juice while you're going down the fairway. And we also have, you get an app of all golf courses in the world on the Zero Friction app. And so when you're going down the fairway as well, if you don't have a laser, you just put your phone inside a holder, and it'll give you the distance to every hole on the golf course you're playing.
Well, John, it's really pretty amazing. I think, you know, from a 30,000-foot view, when we think about the impact of technology on golf, you know, we think of things like the, you know, the titanium-headed driver and other things that have come along, you know, specifically impacting the game. But, of course, things like this product that you have, I think even changes in the battery technology and probably what helps make that possible, because you've got enough juice to get the golf bag around the golf course, as well as the extras for charging a phone and everything else. So I've got to imagine a product like this may not have even been possible a few years ago, and be weight efficient and be able to get all of the benefits that you've packed into it out of the product.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, along the line of the battery, the longest lasting battery is a 36-hole battery that's out there. And in a matter of the last 90 days, we were able to develop a 72-hole battery. So to your point, Ed, these things are changing rapidly. And, you know, we're just trying to stay at the front of the technology on it all.
Amazing, amazing stuff. And still for the, looks like for those that are less tech inclined, you have options there as well. I know prominently on your website, the Sunday bag, you know, positioned for, again, someone that is happy carrying, but wants a nice lightweight option.
That's a great product, our little Air Light bag. But for somebody that still wants a trolley product, we have available right now our Wheel Pro, which is a carry. It's a 3-in-1 golf bag. It's a carry stand bag, full carry stand bag, nylon, lightweight, and it comes with two wheels that pop on in about 3 seconds, and has a built-in ergonomic handle. So your golf bag can also double as its own push cart, becomes its own trolley. And you could leave the wheels off, and it fits on the back of a motor cart. Sensational product. It's $299. It's at zerofriction.com. Locally, PGA Tour Superstores is carrying it as well in-store. If anybody wants to go in and see one, they could go to Superstores. There's, I believe, 4 or 5 locations now in Chicagoland for PGA Superstores.
It's 10:21. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears with Ed Stevenson, Bill Berger in studio. Len Ziem is with us from down at the John Deere Classic today, and we're talking for a few minutes with the president of Zero Friction Golf, John Iacono. And, John, you know, one thing that I've really appreciated from your company is the line of golf gloves. I think they're really well done. And tell us a little bit more about them, and plus the recent new one you have that really really looks at the health of the hand as well.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, our golf gloves are a big core portion of our business, and they're all one-size-fit. So we have 13 patents on the one-size glove system, and it's really been miraculous for our business and for the consumer, because the gloves stretch and conform to every individual hand. I know you've tried them on, Rory, yourself, and have used the gloves, and they're just sensational. I mean, I wear a medium cadet, former Chicago Bear great Patrick Manley, who is pretty much a scratch golfer, has a 2X, and we wear the same glove. And the beauty of it, it stretches on demand. So if it doesn't need to stretch much, it doesn't. When it needs to stretch, it does. And it's just a really great, great product. We make them in synthetic, in cabretta, men's, ladies, juniors, a variety of colorways. And then when the weather is wet, we make a product called the Storm, which is a combination rain and cold glove. And it's just sensational. Has a touchscreen on both fingertips on that glove. And all our gloves have a hybrid or mini golf tee and ball marker on each glove. So you never have to dig for that short tee, and you always have a ball marker.
Len Ziem, I know that your golf bag and golf collection has got a few Zero Friction products on it. What do you got for John here this morning?
Well, you know, the thing of it is, you guys know I'm old school. I was one of the last guys to give in and wear a golf glove, I think. But I've used John's now for about 2 or 3 years. I got and I can't play without a golf glove now. It's I'm really become a big fan of that, and the tees as well. So I know John gave me a kind of an introduction to his golf carts at the PGA Merchandise Show, and I think he was with us again at an International Network of Golf forum that we've had out in Florida. So I'm looking forward to the new product coming out. I can tell your excitement about it, John, and I'm sure it'll be really really well received. I'll certainly want to have a look at it.
Oh yeah, thank you, Len. It's just really good stuff. We have so much fun with it, and we made a new glove this year called that Rory was asking about. It's called the Theratech, and a lot of players, especially players that really hit a lot of golf balls, tour players, the heel of your hand, you could damage the bones and the nerves at the heel, and it shoots up the side up through your fingertip on the pinky. And Brooks Koepka was that's what injured him last year, and Mickelson's had that injury, and Tim Herron's had that injury, Freddie Couples. A lot of guys have had the injury, and a neurologist from Dublin, Conor O'Brien, came to me and he said, I see patients with this. I had a concept. He brought it to me, and we made the glove. It's heavily padded on a portion of the hand. We also put infused copper into the glove because it helps with inflammation. And then we made a version that has a wrist strap as well. And our good friend Jason Bruno down in Florida saw the wrist strap version. And Jason, you know, Jason's a scratch player. And he said, John, I have the worst wrist injury. I've never been able to find anything to help me. And he couldn't have been more excited to get the Theratech with the wrist strap around it, right? So great products. Again, filling a niche for those that need something with a little extra support in the glove and some added protection.
Well, John, I'll tell you what, the glove that I'm using is, yeah, the little shorter version of that, but it's been great for my hand, and not only do I feel like I'm getting some extra added support, but, you know, it's comfortable when you play, and you feel like you get a good hold on the golf club with it, and you really can't ask for much more. John, before we let you go and enjoy your weekend, I know that golf clubs and remote push carts are not the only products you have. Give us a little summary of the rest of the product line if people are looking to fill up their golf bag with some supplies here at the mid-season.
Sure. Well, you know, golf tees, of course, are our foundation, and we've come out with a new golf tee called the Turf Tee. And we make it in a 3-inch length, so it's just slightly longer than the standard 2 3/4. But the beauty of it is that the tip has a built-in divot repair tool. And it's very slight. It's a little fork system, and it is just fantastic. So you have a proper divot repair tool built into every tee, and that's a great product. And then we have an outstanding line of golf balls. From our Spectrum matte finish, 7 different colors of golf balls, really, really popular product. We have our Distance 312 two-piece golf ball. We have a 15-ball pack called the B-52 Bomber. I'll tell you, it's legal, and it flies. It's a really great product. We have our Tour Spin three-piece Sirlin ball. Everything is priced really, really well. So we try to make products and price products that 98% of the golfing public can afford. That's always our goal.
Well, John, I'll tell you what, your company's been doing a great job of that. I know a lot of people that are stocking up on zero-friction products, and you've worked with numerous golf organizations and charities and different things to help them out and let people get goodie bags, so to speak, when they show up for golf events. And we've seen a lot of your good products in them, and it's nice that you and your company take the extra step to help people out that are trying to raise money for various good causes through the sport of golf. But John, thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you at a golf event or a golf show here in the soon future.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Rory, Ed, and Len. Nice to chat with y'all. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Okay, thanks, John. And I'll tell you what, before we go to the break, Len Zeme and I yesterday at John Deere, we caught up with Nick Hardy, and we're going to let you hear a little bit from Nick and what's going on with Northbrook Nick as he works his way through the PGA Tour, now a few weeks out from being a winner down in New Orleans at the Zurich Classic.
So, Nick, tell us about the first 36 holes. I know you're well aware that you got to go low here if you're gonna, you're going to win it on Sunday, but you've made a step in the right direction, but I think you need a few more.
No doubt. I got to play with the leader, so, you know, I saw it all day. I mean, Cam's playing great, and it was hard to keep pace with him today. I mean, I just didn't hit it close enough with my approaches early on to give myself some good looks, but overall, I'm very happy with how I'm playing, and I know that I can put a good one up tomorrow, hopefully, to catch him and make it a little easier for Sunday.
Last year, there was a couple minor injury things. You had a wrist thing going. So how healthy are you now? Are you beyond all that?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm healthy. I'm feeling good. My body feels great. I feel like I've been making, you know, strides, getting better out here, and you know, I'm proud of where I'm at.
Tell us about what New Orleans did for you.
Oh yeah, no, it's nice. I mean, put a win in the belt. Obviously, a team event. Had a lot of fun that week. You know, you still get to you know, cherish all the accolades of a win on the PGA Tour, which is, you know, 2-year exemption, have some security, get the FedEx Cup points. That's really nice. And I think I'm set up in a good position to hopefully make a run in for East Lake.
Now, people have said that because it was a team thing, you did not get a Masters invite?
Did not get a Masters invite, no world ranking points, but all the, you know, all that comes with a win on the PGA Tour I got. And, you know, it was a great week, and it's definitely helpful for my career. You know.
So what about, we've been hearing it was on TV again yesterday, and I haven't asked you about it. You got a new coach.
Yeah, so...
this may be old news, but I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, no, I started working with a coach from Australia last year, so last fall, sort of. His name is Gary Barter. You know, I have had like a long relationship with Brett, and you know, learned a lot, and sometimes you kind of just need a few extra opinions in certain areas of the game, and I felt like I did. And you know, I'm very, very blessed for all the help I've received from everyone who's helped me get to this point. And you know, I feel like Gary was a very good addition. You know.
Well, there you go. There's part of the interview with Nick Hardy, done by Len Ziem and I yesterday at the John Deere Classic. We are going to take our first break, and we will be back with not only everybody here in studio and Len Ziem down at the John Deere Classic, but we're going to bring in longtime Quad Cities golf writer and the author of the book Magic Happens Here, the 50-year book history of the John Deere Classic, who's with PGAtour.com this week, Craig DeVries, right after this. Erin Hills, one of Wisconsin's top public golf destinations and a top 100 rated golf course, is ready to welcome golfers to a championship golf experience. Erin Hills is where you can enjoy walking on the rolling hills of the Kettle Moraine area just northwest of Milwaukee. Erin Hills has already hosted 4 USGA championships, including the U.S. Amateur and the 2017 U.S. Open. Now, a 5th USGA championship is coming in 2025, and this time it's the ladies' turn when the Women's U.S. Open arrives. It's also one of 6 U.S. Open courses open for public play. Now at Erin Hills is the 63,000-square-foot putting green, the Drumlin, open for unlimited use for those with a scheduled tee time. While at Erin Hills, you can stay in rooms over the Irish pub or in one of the several cottages right on property. During the warm days of summer, enjoy beverages like a Fescue Rescue or a cold Erin Hills Pilsner. So book your tee times now, because tee times and rooms are going quickly. So book your play and stay by calling Erin Hills at 866-772-4769 or visit erinhills.com. Mistwood Golf Club, located on Renwick Road in Romeoville, is one of the Chicago area's finest public golf facilities, where golfers find a commitment to excellence by the owners, the McWethy family. Mistwood Golf Club, designed and renovated by architect Ray Hearn, is a links-style golf course with 20 sidewall bunkers like those found in Scotland or Ireland. Mistwood has played host to several championships, including the state amateur, and it's the yearly home of the Illinois Women's Open. The driving range and performance center comes with natural grass hitting areas and indoor hitting bays, perfect for lessons, practice, or club fittings. Before or after your round, stop in and enjoy the bar and grill in the Performance Center or dining in McWethy's Tavern in the main clubhouse. So make your tee times today by calling 815-254-3333 or visit online mistwoodgc.com.
All right, and we're back. It's 10:35. You're tuned in to Golfers on Golf Radio, bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. In studio, I'm Ed Stevenson alongside Rory Spears and Bill Berger. We've got our fourth, Len Ziem, on the line with us as well. And, hey, as we take that Chicago area perspective on the world of golf, we're glad that the, you know, the world of golf has eyes on Illinois and a little west of us out in Silvis. We're all keeping tabs on the John Deere Classic. It's something we look forward to every year, Rory.
Yeah, we sure do. And, you know, it was nice yesterday to see our guest from last week, the new championship director, Andrew Lehman. I was standing out there waiting for the media shuttle to get back to the parking lot, and he drove by and one of those John Deere gators and looked over and jumped out of the cart to come over and, you know, to say thanks for making the trip down. And I guess he did admit he was a little surprised when Brian called him because his PR guy had forgot to warn him he was on the air with us last week at the around 10:30. But we were glad to have him with, and everything worked out. And you know what? We have, you know, Len Ziem is down there in the Quad Cities for the weekend, and Lenny, of course, will be following the action. But if there's somebody who really knows the John Deere Classic and the history of golf in the Quad Cities, it's our next guest. He's with PGATour.com this week, and we welcome in the author of Magic Happens Here, the 50-year John Deere book, Craig DeVries. CD, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Rory. Good to talk to you, and always good to talk to Lenny, my two favorite Chicago golf guys, other than the rest of them.
Well, Craig, I got to ask you, where are you in the press center? Or are you in your own?
You know, they went off. They went off in threes late this morning because of a threat of weather that never really actually materialized. They could have got started earlier, but. It does give me a respite, and I get to actually go. I'm going to go have brunch with my family, who's in town from out of town, after we're done talking. So,
Well, listen.
And then I'll get out there and watch these young guns go at it, man.
There you go. Well, I know you're going to probably see a lot of birdies today. Things a little softer on those greens after the rain that blew through yesterday. But, Craig, you know, one of the big questions, and it finally just got announced a few weeks back here before championship week, is a new three-year deal for John Deere. And it was sort of coming down to the wire there, and they didn't have a deal passed this week. And what can you tell us about John Deere and the PGA Tour putting a deal together? It's not as long as the last one, but it guarantees the tournament will stick around at least for a few more years.
Yeah, I think this is a feel it out. And nobody, obviously, the vagaries of the golf world these days are pretty unpredictable. The fact that the merger, the LIV PGA Tour merger, came down the very next day, right after they announced the John Deere Classic extension, kind of exemplifies that. But I think actually, if I read the tea leaves correctly, I think that the timing of the Deere announcement was a little bit the tour kind of nudged them that way without telling them what was coming to make the announcement at that point. I think we always expected that John Deere would re-up on a very short-term leash just to see where this thing was going. You know, it's a new, you know, for a number of years, Sam Allen, through the last decade, Sam Allen was he's an Evans Scholar and a great golfer and passionate about the game, whereas the new CEO, President John May, is a little less so. But Deere and really has made some great strides in terms of their marketing and the growth of their turf, the golf and turf division, through this tournament, and they recognize the value of this event, and particularly when there are eyes on it across the nation on CBS, and they're able to share those television feeds across the world.
Well, Craig, I think it goes to what you're saying there. We, you know, I did a story a year ago after we found out that Illinois' largest golf resort, Eagle Ridge Resort and Spa up in Galena. And I know Len Zeme will have more to say about Eagle Ridge next weekend because he's gonna get up there. But they had $3 to $4 million commitment for all new equipment from John Deere, and then while sitting down with Bob Farron, the director of grounds in Pinehurst, and Jack Bickart, who just retired as vice president of sales, the two of them put together a deal with John Deere to make John Deere the official supplier for Pinehurst and all, well, 10 of its courses, which will technically be 11th when the 10th course opens next year. But they also got the 9-hole cradle. But it seems like John Deere's footprint in the golf world has really grown. Comes from this tournament or not, is probably part of it. But it seems like John Deere is just making a great effort in the golf industry.
I think you can be sure that it comes from this tournament, Rory. I mean, what it comes from is the equipment, the official equipment supplier for the PGA Tour. And when you put that brand on your brand, I wrote a piece for PGAtour.com this week about TPC Deer Run and the way that that course came into existence, that this sponsorship came into existence is. A key piece of magic happened, and it's probably the most essential magic to the history of the tournament. I mean, Duke Butler is sitting in a room with Bob Combs and representatives of John Deere and of the Golf and Turf Division in May of 1996, and they were finally, they knew it had to be Deere to be the title sponsor, which had been the fact since the tournament started in 1971. They had been chasing that big white whale, big green whale in this case, and it was just at the very last moment when Deere was getting ready to stand up and say, when the guys Deere, Bob Combs and his partners already stood up and said, well, thanks. We appreciate this, but we're concerned that if we sponsor this as a community event, only for community purposes, it's going to go away, and we're going to have a black eye in the community. And then Duke Butler stood up and said, well, I can think of two reasons we wouldn't leave. We can build a TPC course on some land that maybe you might be able to provide, and we can make you the official equipment supplier for the TPC network. And it seems so brutally obvious that I asked Duke five times before I put it in the book. Did you really come up with that on the spur of the moment? And he insists that he did. And it was it's the linchpin. It's the this is the second oldest sponsor relationship on tour, along with Sony. Only AT&T has a longer one. And the reason is it works for John Deere. It has grown their golf and turf division, which was fledgling. And, at that point, in 1996, Kenny Edwards, who was the head of the division, told me that they were putting tractor tires on their golf and turf equipment. It wasn't a sophisticated line, but it became that, and it grew through this partnership with John Deere. When you put the PGA Tour brand on golf and turf equipment, that means everything. And it's not just it's great to hear about Eagle Ridge, and it's certainly great to hear about Pinehurst, but the reach is also really extended to the UK and the European continent. I mean, they had a conversation with St. Andrews about being the golf and turf equipment there with the Royal and Ancient. They're in Spain. They're at Spanish courses. I'm not sure Valderrama's one, but if it is, you're gonna hear about it in a little bit. It's across the continent, and it's really and the fact that they can bring European superintendents over here to play in the pro-am, to play in the in the Monday pro-am with fellow superintendents, and to spend the week and watch PGA Tour at its highest level. I don't care what anybody says. It really makes a difference, and it's grown this brand. And that's why, when things got a little hairy this past year, and and Honda, which had been a longer term sponsor on the tour, decided it wouldn't return. John Deere hung in there and tried to find reasons how ways that it could, and ways that it could get beyond the challenge of LIV and the challenge of its date, and there are some indications that too could change. So a lot of good things happening, and the 3-year extension really was a sigh of relief here in the Quad Cities, because we just didn't know how it was going to go, and we're glad to see that John Deere's with it, and we're having another great tournament here.
John,
all plans going forward.
Yeah, Craig, let me ask you this. I saw some pictures the other day. I guess we're about a month away from TPC Wisconsin opening up there in Madison. Steve Stricker has a lot to do with that. Obviously, Steve Stricker has a great history at John Deere, and it seemed like in some of the construction photos we saw John Deere equipment. I got to believe that John Deere might even have a bigger presence there when that club gets reopened to members and their guests, maybe just 5-6 weeks from now.
If it's a TPC course, Rory, it's John Deere Green. You can be sure of that. That was the first piece of ink that was put on a contract that was signed in April of 1997. So, this has been a great thing for John Deere. It's been a great thing for the Quad Cities, and you know, best of all, John Deere isn't doing it simply for business reasons. The fact that Birdies for Charity has raised hundreds of millions for charity with John Deere's sanction and participation. Frankly, they fund a matching program that has been major in the Birdies for Charity bonuses that have been passed out to more than 500 charities across the Quad Cities and frankly across the region, across the bi-state region. I think some of those charities are actually extended to Chicago. So it's been, you know, it's everything John Deere has wanted, and that was something that I tried to hammer home in a chapter of the book, that this agreement has been. You know, John Deere is a very, very savvy marketing team and a very savvy corporate organization, and they have marketed this thing in all the ways they need to, and they've leveraged it in all the ways they could. And I just don't think there's a better sponsor, title sponsor on tour. And obviously the fact that, you know, headquarters is less than a mile from the second hole is part of that, but it's just been a great partnership, and you know, it's hard to imagine why it was so difficult to find this through 15 pretty difficult years, pretty fun years that I hope are spelled out in the book, when, you know, Ed McMahon and was throwing his parties here in the Quad Cities, and the tournament was just bathing in red ink. So,
well,
it's been a good run. 53 years now, and we got a great leaderboard this week, and we're pretty excited about it. You know, we in the Quad Cities would like to tell you folks in Chicago, we are the only annual PGA Tour stop in the Quad Cities,
and don't we know it?
Well, I think Lenny, is this still the golf capital of Illinois? Can you confirm?
It'll always be the golf capital of Illinois. Now I tell you, you know, I was. Just interjecting a thought here on the I like you and Rory, and I know Ed, we're glad to hear that an agreement did come up with the PGA Tour. My first thought there was only 3 years. Doggone, that doesn't seem long enough. And then, Andrew Lehman made a good point. We were just talking off the cuff about the whole thing, and. And he said, well, you know, I think he thought, and I agree with him completely now I think about it, that 3 years, you know, with all that's going on in golf this year, you know, who knows what the sport is going to be like in another 3 years. And I think it was a good business decision. You know, you'd like to think that it'd be 20 years or something, keep the tournament in a nice, comfortable zone like that. But I'm not worried about the future of the John Deere at all, even though it's a 3-year contract. Did seem short when I first saw it. I'm just delighted that the continuation of the whole tournament.
You know, you're absolutely right about the unpredictability of the game. I mean, as I said, you know, they announced that this 3-year extension, and the very next day, the merger's announced. So yeah, it's a little unpredictable. But I think as it gets a little more predictable, as the details of this merger between the PIF and the PGA Tour become a little more clear. I think as John Deere and John May take a look at the impact of some changes to the tournament structure this year, you know, I mean, there was some concern last year about the field. The field is much, much stronger this year. Last year they had, I think they had 8 top 100 players. This year they have 11 top 50, and the leaderboard is really bearing out the impact of the changes that shrunk the playoffs to a 70 person starting line. That's made all the difference in the world. There's a lot of guys here who are trying to make sure they can get in that top 50 in particular and be able to play in those elevated events next year. So, the Deere has always been a launching pad. This year it's an on-ramp. And I think a lot of other non-elevated events, so-called non-elevated events, are going to feel that influence again next year as the players start to figure out just how important it is to get to that top 50 and to have a chance to play, for $20 million purses.
Craig, Ed Stevenson here. And this event has been something so special for the community. You mentioned, obviously, the charity impact is truly magical. We've talked on this show and every other show about some of the finishes. You couldn't have script writers put together more dramatic finishes. And then you've enlightened us a bit on how this all came together, really one of the most magic moments, as you were talking earlier. But we've made reference to the book. Tell our listeners a bit more about the magic and about your book.
Well, the magic, you know, I mean, it starts with Jordan Spieth standing in a bunker at 18, a shot behind Zach Johnson and David Hearn, who are playing behind him, and he holds it. And we've got young players here who were 12, 11, you know, Michael Thorbjornsen and Ludvig Åberg and William Mao, who the latter two are both tied for fifth place as we start today. They talked about it. It's just been, Steve Stricker from the bunker, fairway bunker to hit the miracle shot that right. Sets up the walk-off birdie. And we've had a lot of great finishes at TPC Deer Run. The magic happened is, I can't claim that. Claire Peterson coined that phrase. Former tournament director Claire Peterson coined that phrase after Stricker hit that bunker shot from the fairway bunker and made that birdie. And then the very next year, Zach Johnson, who's basically the player host of this event from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, he hits it to 2 feet in the playoff against Troy Madison from that very same fairway bunker. So, yeah, magic happened. It's been an amazing thing. And in a lot of ways, the golf course is designed to do that. In 2015, when Jordan Spieth was going for he came here with the first two majors in his pocket, the Masters and U.S. Open, was going to go over to St. Andrews and try to do something only Ben Hogan had previously done in winning those first three majors. He birdied the last five holes to get in the playoff with Tom Gillis, and that's what this golf course sets up. It's a low scoring course. There's no question about it. You can get in trouble if you get crossed, if you get sideways on the golf course. The rough is there's trees like there are in Illinois, but there's fairways that are sometimes soft and very receptive, and greens that are certainly that, and they putt so true because they're maintained by John Deere equipment. Plug. anyway, the golf course was set up, and DA set it up that way. He built the amphitheater experience on 18 and set up the back nine really just perfect to create the exciting finishes, and Lord, there's been a ton of them.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you're right, and You know, Craig, I know you've been there for him. Lenny's been there. I've been there. And the John Deere Classic never ceases to come up with excitement from week start to weekend. Craig, listen, thanks so much for jumping in for a few minutes and giving us a little more history about the tournament. And your book, Magic Happens Here, the history of the 50-year history at the time of the John Deere Classic. And we're going to let you go have brunch with the family and so that you can get back out to TPC Deer Run a little later this afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
See you at the golf course. Yeah, I'm going to run out and follow Gordon Sargent and see him hit it 400 yards.
Yeah, he does.
That's magic, too.
Yeah, there it is. Lenny, any final thoughts from you about what you've seen at the John Deere Classic this week before we get ready to wrap it up here?
Well, you know, this tournament has been known to have for the number of players who have won their first title in the John Deere Classic. There's been 23 of them. In 51 years. So I it's always a kind of a interesting way to look at the tournament and the weekend this year. I am very impressed with this Ludvig Åberg from Sweden, and he's right up there. So I kind of want to put a little nudge on in case he wins. I'll look pretty good, but there's a lot of young players who, a lot of, you know, the Cameron Young is leading now, and he hasn't won yet, so that'd be a more logical choice. But it's going to be an exciting, it's going to be an exciting finish. It always is here. I'd be like to have another tournament, one with a miracle shot that we could talk about for years to come. We'll see what
magic,
happens.
More magic. Well, it always is, and it's great to have PGA Tour golf here in the state of Illinois. You know, hey, guys, as we get close to wrapping up here, I'm thinking back to our first guest and talking with Zero Friction, you know, a Chicago area equipment company. And Billy, you know, was going to ask you, there's been no shortage of really fairly iconic equipment companies here in Chicago. You know, thinking back to even when you were in the pro shop at Itasca Country Club, when you think Chicago golf equipment manufacturers, we think Wilson, but who's most iconic? Here we got Zero Friction doing some good stuff right now. We know we got Wilson, but...
You know, one of the leaders of... excuse me. Of a golf company was that didn't have steel shafts, and that was Chicago, and you know, of course you had you know, even for the going past the roots of hitting the golf ball, and that the practice is the Wittig company is from Chicago.
Ah, Wittig. I thought, you know, I thought reference maybe to, well, you know, we have Tour Edge
and coming Wilson. Up with Dave Glad's Tour Edge and you know.
Ram, was Ram part of Chicago Equation?
Ram started the way back at Sportsman Golf Club, and then when they sold the company, Ram name, and it came back Ram Golf.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of...
A legacy of Chicago golf companies. And, yeah, here's something I thought I'd never hear before. The convertible golf bag trolley was really pretty
amazing
from Zero Friction. So we'll look forward to seeing that on golf courses soon. In the meanwhile, I know we're going to look forward to seeing more both in the Daily Herald and online from our journalists here, Len Zeem and Rory Spears. Between the broadcasts, you can always catch up with this show on golfersongolf.com. And we'll, of course, be back on the air next week at 10 a.m. Rory, what can we look forward to on golfersongolf.com?
We're going to hear a little bit from Jeff Ogilvie, part of OCM, that's redoing the Medina 3 course. Tim Cronin, the Illinois golfer, and I caught up with Jeff yesterday coming off the course. He's actually playing in the JDC this week, and he made the cut. So he might catch a little TV time this weekend. Don't forget, too, shout out to the ladies who are playing their first U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach, and that's proved a little bit exciting too, watching them play it out there where we normally see the PGA Tour back in February.
All right, well, let's watch for some magic coming from the Quad Cities. We want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in and sharing an hour of your time with us. We're going to look forward to reconnecting with you next week at 10 a.m. here on 750 AM. A shout out to our producer, Brian. Of course, thanks to our guests, and hope you enjoy the rest of the week. And on behalf of myself, I'm Ed Stevenson with Len Zeem, Bill Berger, and Rory Spears. Until next week, hit them straight.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.